The Crossman Conversation brought to you today by Community Legal Services, Valencia College, Maynard Cooper, Frontier Partners, First Horizon Bank, and Crossman Career Builders.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Listen, Mike, before we get started.
Okay, here
I just got a quick story for you. Yep. I just got to tell you this quick story.
Right,
this is a quick story. So the Crossmans are of German background. Peter Crossman came to America in the 1800s. And so my dad actually grew up speaking German in his household.
He was being a gutes Mann.
Yeah, Dunka. I don't know really much, but he would. And he had his really influential white woman in his life named his Aunt Eva. And so when my youngest daughter was born, we named her Ava, and she's named after her Aunt Eva. And Ava, she has a German name, and she has a very German look to her. She has like a traditional kind of blonde hair, blue eyes, Ava. So Ava was in middle school, and I think we can all agree, middle school is the worst. It's the absolute
tough
worst.
Time.
Oh, no one has a good time.
Yeah.
So she's in this class, and they're doing this book called The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, which is just talks about the Holocaust. And she had a substitute teacher, and the substitute teacher, think about this, eighth grade, has Ava stand up, and she says, if the Holocaust were happening now, Ava would live, and the rest of y'all would be dead. Can you imagine saying
wow.
that?
Wow.
So Ava came home, and she tells me the story, and I am infuriated, and that's on Monday. And every day of the week, I'm really angry, and I'm trying to figure out how to be the best dad, you know, because you don't want to go, like my dad old school would be showing up at the school, you know, kind of going, and I'm trying to think how to do this. So I finally found the people in my mind, I bet they will help. And you know who I called? The Holocaust Center. I called the Holocaust Center right here in Maitland, right by where our studio is. And I called them, and you know what they did? First off, they contacted the school and said, you're teaching it wrong. That's not right. They invited me and Ava for a private tour of the Holocaust Center. We went to Holocaust Center, and they talked to her about, first off, they apologized to her that happened. Can you imagine that?
That's
like what a huge moment was for my daughter. And then they talked to her about one of the greatest countries in the world today for Jews to live is Germany, and made her feel better about her German heritage and all of that. So isn't that the coolest story?
That's a great story,
like a
John.
Reconciliation and beautiful things. And so with that in mind, our guests today are from the Holocaust Center. Isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
Oh, my gosh. So first off, we got Kathy Turner, who's the Vice President of Marketing and Development for the Holocaust Center. So hi, Kathy.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. I have a friend of mine who goes to church with you and just says you're adorable. That's what he says whenever he talks to me. He's so adorable.
Let me know who to pay later.
Okay, you got it. And then our good friend, Tali. That's it, right? Tali.
Yes,
oh, my gosh. I'm so nervous. Tali Dippold.
Perfect.
Dippold. Got it right. And she's the CEO. Big deal. It's a big deal of the Holocaust Center. So thanks for being here. It's
Thank
so cool
you.
To have
Thank
you.
Thank you for inviting us.
Well, you guys know I'm a big fan of the Holocaust Center. As I've told you before, you guys have been just a great personal resource to me. And one of the things I like about you guys, maybe the main thing, is I feel like you're the real deal. You know, like sometimes people talk about inclusion and their stuff, and they're really not about inclusion. They kind of have one angle. You guys seem to have this very pure educational worldview, and you accepted me and my family, and you accept all kinds of people. So is that true that you guys really are a very inclusive group, correct?
Absolutely. So this is Tali, and I've been here only 4 months, so I'm speaking from a shorter term perspective, but we welcome visitors of diverse backgrounds. We really try to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk, as you say. And our goal is to really combat not just anti-Semitism, bigotry, prejudice of all kinds. We want to create a more caring and just community for everyone. So we do really work community-wide. So I'm thrilled to hear that your story, that your family was supported. And it's unfortunate that the incident happened. We know that incidents are going to happen.
Sure.
We're thrilled to be here to help individuals get past those issues.
Well, isn't it nice? It's like when you live in a community, you're like, gosh, you know, if there's a fire, I can call the firemen. You know, my house gets broken into, I can call the police department. And like this issue happened to my middle schooler at the time, and I could call you guys, and you guys were there to help. And so that was just very, very cool. Do you mind just telling us a little bit about your personal background? A little bit?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I am originally from Jerusalem, Israel, born in Israel. I'm the first generation in my family not born in Poland in about 1,000 years.
Come on.
1,000-year history. So I'm about 100% Polish. So no Polish jokes this time. But essentially, my grandparents were survivors of the Holocaust. They were the only survivors in their families, and they stayed in Poland afterwards, which was not the most common narrative to try to rebuild life. So my parents were both born in 1949 in Poland, ended up leaving Poland in 1956, and ended up emigrating to Israel. And I was born in Israel. So really a unique story, but also very common. There's a lot of descendants of Holocaust survivors who live in the Florida area, probably more than anywhere else. And I'm thrilled to be here running the Holocaust Center. Arrived from Charlotte, North Carolina, heard about this remarkable opportunity to be part of an organization that has a footprint in the community for 35 years, doing remarkable work, working with schools, individuals, organizations, helping to bring the Holocaust education mandate that exists in public schools out into the community. So when I heard about this opportunity, couldn't wait to be here. And I've been here 4 months, feel like a local Floridian.
Well, you are for sure.
Two hurricanes.
Now you're a veteran. Absolutely. Well, I'm so glad you're here. That was a lot you kind of put out there to unpack. So real quick, I'm a real lover of history. And you will know this in my household, we're very respectful of Poland. When you research Polish history, my wife and I years ago watched the movie The Pianist. And you remember that movie? And I remember at the end of it, my wife looked at me and she said, did things get better for Poland after this? I'm like, no, you know. And so what Poland survived and been through, like, I have great respect for the Polish people. And in that, Helen Greenspan, I grew up, you know, being around South Florida Holocaust survivors, but I really wasn't tuned in. I was a teenager. And so as I got older, I really wanted my daughters to meet a Holocaust survivor. And so I got to spend time with her. And she survived that whole era, survived, got liberated from a concentration camp. And I'm so blessed. Both my daughters have gotten to meet her. And I wanted her to shake their hands. So it's like, when you're an old woman, you can tell people I touched a Holocaust survivor. So
that is extremely meaningful. In fact, they find that ends up being one of the most meaningful opportunities for students is to actually meet a survivor. And sadly, we know that within the next few years, that will no longer be a possibility. So really, any opportunity to hear a survivor speak, tell their story is remarkable. So I did the same thing with my kids. I want to make sure that they had some real interaction because they'll be the last generation that can say that they walked the earth while there were Holocaust survivors.
You know, and it's so funny to recently get my DNA and a couple of years with my mom. And she is my mom, by the way. We did confirm that. But my DNA goes like this. It's like German. And then it's Irish, and then it's Nigerian. You know, my grandfather was, on my mom's side was black. And then it's like 14 other different, like, Western European ethnic groups.
Wow.
And so when I hear you saying that's all like Poland, like, that's just so cool to me because, like, mine's just like this hodgepodge of stuff.
I recently had my DNA done. I don't know why. It was sort of, my husband laughed and said, waste of money, 99.9% Ashkenazi Jew.
How about that? How about that? So I'm the exact opposite. My people were adventuresome. I don't know.
I hope
it was all consensual. I don't know. Who knows? But we'll see.
I'm sure it was.
All right. So with that segue, let's go to Kathy. So Kathy, tell me a little bit about your role in the Holocaust Center. How long have you worked there and how's that going?
Yeah, I've worked there for the last 3 years and came from the Seventh Day Adventist, a well-known healthcare organization here in town. You noted my church. So I am Christian and was more familiar with the healthcare field and representing a Christian mission. I, like many people in this community, was not aware that there's a Holocaust Center right up the street in Maitland. Had to familiarize myself with the organization, its mission, its vision, its goals, and really got acquainted with the stakeholders, lots of the investors and board members, as well as the staff. Made a point of getting to know some of the Christian board members in particular to understand why they were so engaged and passionate about the work and seeing through to fruition a lot of the important work. And programmatically, they do a lot of education in the school system, but also provide a lot of educational programming right there at the center. So to understand why they were involved, and that was really helpful in me making the decision to make a leap into something different. And so it's been wonderful to be a part of this organization for the last 3 years, and we're excited for the direction that we're headed in.
So you did have the commonality of the Seventh Day Adventist and then Jewish, you know, you got your Sundays off or something, or I don't know,
like Saturday.
Saturday off. Yeah. So is there something like that? So I know there was some segue to that. Well, how is it? We just got a minute here. We're going to wrap up, but you're Christian working at a Holocaust center. How does that work out? Is there any issue with that, or does that come together naturally?
There's not. So Tali touched on, you know, visitors and guests that come through of different diverse backgrounds, be it religious, cultural, ethnic, demographically. You know, we're very diverse in our audience. We're also very diverse in terms of our board members, our stakeholders, and our staff. Our staff is not, clearly, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Our staff is not all Jewish. And so I think that it's important that we represent different perspectives and different religious backgrounds, of course. You know, I always say that when it comes to the Holocaust, Jews didn't do that to themselves. Jewish people didn't do that to themselves.
Yeah, there was others. Yeah.
There were people that went to church, that went to Mass on Sunday and committed murder Monday through Saturday. And I think there needs to be a realization of that and an ownership that we are part of this. We are part of the story. We are absolutely part of the narrative. We need to be part of the education.
Yeah, and part of the solution.
Exactly.
Right?
Part of the education. Like, we need to own it just as much as the Jewish people are owning and telling their story. Sure. We need to own that we are part of that story as well.
When I talked with Mrs. Greensman about her surviving the Holocaust, what she said was she survived because of good Germans, right? And then she was liberated by the American army. So it's hard to sometimes we kind of think black and white, but in reality, there's a lot of different things going on. But you're so correct of joining together in that unity. My dad always had a rabbi come to our house and install a mezuzah at our front door. We always had that our whole lives growing up, so we had that. And then when my dad was really in bad health and my mom was his caregiver, she had a friend who was Jewish that he would come take care of him on Sundays and take him to church. And so, you know, my whole worldview and connecting to the Jewish faith has been ridiculously positive and really heartwarming. So I'm glad you're there and do what you're doing. We're going to take a quick break and come right back. And I want to talk about more about how Christians and others can get involved in the Holocaust Center. One of our many sponsors happens to be Valencia College and the Valencia College Foundation. And I'm so proud to have them on the team because of all the universities and colleges I've worked with. I don't know that I've seen one of them with a better secret sauce for helping students excel in life than Valencia College right here in Central Florida. Crossman Krupelers actually has an endowed scholarship. That's how much I put my money in with those guys. And so we're just so proud to have them as part of the Crossman conversation. Huge thanks to Valencia College.
Community Legal Services is a civil legal aid organization providing no-cost legal help to the underserved. They call it Legal Aid for All. Their attorneys assist with legal issues related to family law, housing, domestic violence, veterans benefits, and much more. Community Legal Services is a community-supported program. To learn more and help support the mission, visit clsmf.org. That's clsmf.org. Community Legal Services, Legal Aid for All.
I'd like to thank Maynard Cooper and Gale, PC, for being a sponsor of our program. Maynard is a full-service law firm with over 350 attorneys and 14 offices nationally who serve with professional excellence in everything from corporate and business matters to day-to-day legal issues. The office in Central Florida focuses its practice in real estate, corporate transactions and organization, banking and finance, along with trust and estates. To learn more, visit MaynardCooper.com.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Are you willing to serve communities in crisis around the world? To people who are impoverished, oppressed, and persecuted? Frontier Partners International offers mission opportunities in areas least served to meet the needs of the helpless, the hapless, and hopeless. To learn how you can be a partner of this frontline ministry with your time, talent, or treasure, visit frontier-partners.org. That's frontier-partners.org. Partners.org.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
All right, this is John Crossman, and we're back. And I want to tell you guys one of my favorite Holocaust stories. I told you about this is my second favorite Holocaust story. Holocaust Center story, not Holocaust story. So the Holocaust Center story goes like this. Right after Mr. Floyd was murdered, you guys ran an exhibit, and you did a really cool exhibit. And the exhibit was photos of people taken in the area where that happened, and then the photos were up, and then it would be a quote from the person, and it was very diverse. So it was like older person, younger person, black, white, you know, Asian kind of thing. So you guys put that out, did a press release, and some reporter, Mike, reported that it was the Holocaust Center tribute to George Floyd.
Isn't it something how people can do that?
So the Holocaust Center, our little Holocaust Center, started getting hate messages from across America, right? Like across the world, people in London and stuff. So the Holocaust Center called me. They had, you know, who do we know that's a white Christian conservative Republican on speed dial? And so I went down there over Thanksgiving weekend, toured it myself, saw the exhibit. It was a beautiful exhibit. It was a wonderful exhibit. Any rational person would like it. And then I went on social media and I responded to every single one of those crazies. And a bunch of them would message me back and say, you liberal wacko. And I'm like, I am a conservative. I'm a Republican. And I'm like, you're in London. I was just there 15 minutes ago. The Irish part of me likes a good fight, right? So I enjoyed it a little bit. But I liked being there because people just grab stuff and they go with it. And you guys have to be able to kind of keep things together, right? Is that a common thing that you deal with?
Absolutely. We like to challenge people's assumptions and stereotypes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what happened, is that this exhibit did cause, and I wasn't there at the time, but it caused controversy.
Right.
And among many in the community, and taking a step back and saying, what is this really about? We really wanted to talk about prejudice and bigotry and anti-Semitism. That's part of our goal. So we took that incident to talk about how it wasn't a conservative issue and it wasn't a liberal issue.
Right.
It was a human issue.
Right.
A lot of the work we do focuses on human behavior.
Right.
And sort of what we do during moral decision-making moments. And we took a moment in history and analyzed it in that way. So we're very proud of that exhibit.
Well, you know, it's the thing. It's like what I talked about earlier is like you guys found out about a white Christian middle schooler getting picked on and you were there for her. And then I really tried to be there for you, defending you against middle-aged white wackos or Christians like myself, right? So I was happy to be there for you. So tell me this, you know, like one of the things I just want to ask you is like, I want to say this, why should Christians, I mean, I get it, right? I do, but why should Christians support the Holocaust Center? So talk about that. Why
should
we do that?
Sure. So this is what I like to say. So first of all, I'm Jewish, clearly, as I mentioned, from Israel. Not that everyone from Israel is Jewish, but I am. And my husband is Irish Catholic.
We like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's Irish Catholic, middle-aged man. So he would love this show. I'll have to send it to him.
Yeah.
And essentially, the Holocaust is not a Jewish issue. It's not a religious issue. I like to focus on it. My degree is in genocide studies, and I like to focus on the human behavior aspect and on taking a lens of looking at how we deal with one another in society.
Right.
So if we're able to look at it from a human perspective, it's not made for any particular group. These are lessons that every one of us can learn. It's sort of a back to basics. I talk about it like it's humanity.
Right.
There's no one, unless you're not human, that can't benefit from learning about how we as a society treat one another. So there were genocides perpetrated before the Holocaust, even with the same perpetrators. There continue to be genocides, which is why I don't particularly care for the phrase never again, because we have proven as a society that we are okay with killing one another, that that's essentially something that we've accepted, which is why we see genocide continue. I like to look at this topic through the lens of what we can learn from the past, use the lessons from the Holocaust, use what we learned, especially as someone who's a descendant of the survivors. We want to talk about the resilience. We want to talk about the struggle that survivors experience, but we also want to focus on the Christian community that came in support of the Jewish community. We want to talk about the various victims. There were many targets of the Nazi regime that didn't just include the Jews. And we want to also talk about how it helps to not compartmentalize people and put them in these buckets and categories that are very convenient.
Right.
And so all of those lessons, how we identify stereotypes. One of the biggest takeaways that we teach that I personally connect to is learning how to understand a narrative. So we really do help schools talk about, in this day and age where you're getting information from many different sources, how do you even judge the source that you're getting it from? We teach a lot about propaganda and the danger of propaganda. So in general, the Holocaust to me is not a Jewish issue. I happen to be a Jewish person who's in this field of study. Mm-hmm. The majority of the individuals who are in this field of study aren't Jewish. So this is a human behavior and a human aspect that anyone who fits into that bucket, into the human bucket, can really learn a lot of lessons from this.
That's very powerful. Very powerful. Kathy, let me go to you. So when I think about being a resident of Central Florida and I think about everyone should go to Disney, right? Well, you should go to SeaWorld once, Universal Studios once, you live here, like part of it. in my mind, if you're a Christian living in Orlando, you know, you might want to, you know, go to First Baptist at least once and, you know, see their Christmas performance. You might want to go to Northland one time and see one of their performances, or First Pres, even these great churches that regardless of what your denomination is, you might want to just go see different things. I tend to think as a Christian, it's good for all Christians to go to the Holocaust Center at least once and just tour it and then understand that perspective. And again, there could be some grief in that and the role not played, and also some joy in the role that was played. How do you feel about that? Should all Christians check out the Holocaust Center?
I think all people should go in general, not just Christians. All people should go. But I think there is a common misconception, as Tali noted, on that we are a Jewish organization and we're not a Jewish entity. We are next door to the Jewish Community Center, but we're not a Jewish organization. That's important to note because first and foremost, our founder made sure that we were an education center. We're a history museum and an education center. And for that reason, I hope that more and more people, locals and visitors, find us and seek us out for that educational opportunity and for the immersive experiences that we're providing there that hopefully will touch hearts and change minds. That's our whole objective. That's why we exist.
So somebody, I'm just trying to give some examples. So like somebody who's just a lover of history, like if Mike and I are in our life and we have something like, oh, I love history. You know, listen to this. This is funny, Kathy. My nephew said to me that he read something that once you get, if you're a man and you get over like 40, you either have to really get into grilling or really into World War II. Those are the two things. And so my brother-in-law is really into grilling and I'm really into World War II. Like I'm a history guy. I love talking about history. And so I tend to link like history, like this is the place you can go and really unpack that, right? And I think to Tali's point of view, it's like, I also see like the humanity part. Like if you're a person that's into mental health or psychology or eating, just like that thing. So demographically, and you know, I don't know that I would recommend it to everybody because somebody might be at a point in their life when they're not really ready. You know what I mean? Like as far as really being a place to really receive it and receive the education. But I think there's some demographics out there that probably have not been there that would really benefit from it.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I'm not a history buff, but I'm a context person.
Okay.
Understanding the lead up, how did that happen? Why did it happen? And what's happened since? So for me, you know, understanding the Holocaust itself in terms of a certain time period is one thing, but I think it's even more important for our generation and future generations to understand what was the lead up, what were the causes, why did it happen? And since then, how did people find the resiliency to continue their lives, to have second, third gen like Tali sitting here next to me to move on with their life, because everybody needs to be able to find hope in their own circumstances.
That's awesome. Tali, you want to add something on
that? Yeah, there's one other demographic I think could really benefit from a visit, and that fits the bill for a lot of us, parents. As parents, we're constantly trying to find ways to have our students understand how to behave and what happens when, and I'm not saying that the Holocaust was caused by bullying, but we do definitely want to focus on what happens when a society loses its moral compass, loses its rules that keep it engaged, when it becomes legal to discriminate and to do these acts. So I believe as a parent, whether I was Jewish or not Jewish, I would visit the Holocaust Center as a way to show how even the power of education, the Holocaust was perpetrated by well-educated, very knowledgeable individuals. That it's not just important to get an education, it's also to question everything around you. And so there's a huge opportunity there to educate your family.
See, this is what I love about you, the human, and you, Kathy, and the whole organization. This is what I love about it. You guys are the real deal. And so I remember after the whole George Floyd, his murder and all that, after that, there was a group that did a unity like walk. That's a good concept. And they contacted me. And one of the things I said was, well, are Trump supporters invited? And they said, no. Well, that's not a unity walk, right? Like, that's not inclusive. There are people I know who, if you're straight, if you're white and you're Christian, they believe bullying you is okay. Honestly, like if you say, hey, if a kid is LGBT or if they're trans or if they're really pro-environment, you know, bullying them was totally wrong. But if a kid comes out and says, I'm a conservative Christian, bullying that kid, it's not wrong, it's encouraged. I have seen that. I mean, I've seen it online. I've experienced it with my own kids. I've seen it happen. You guys don't put up with that. You are across the board, bullying is wrong. It's not pushed one angle. You're like, right, you know, this is the right way to treat humans.
100%. That is absolutely aligned with how we are. We want everyone to create a moral and just society and community. You need everyone to be treated fairly. And so we absolutely, if I had a unity march, I would invite everyone. Part of what we try to focus on is being able to have dialogue through difference.
Right.
And in this moment in history, we're not particularly good at that. So we definitely want to highlight that as one of the areas that we like to focus on.
Well, I support you. I am a fan of you guys as individuals, as people, and what you're doing there. So people need to get this on the radar. They need to come visit, right? You guys have open hours. They could also schedule a tour and things like that.
Absolutely. If they visit our website, they can schedule a personal tour. We're open on weekends, evenings.
Every day but Saturday. Saturday. You can mention Saturdays
those
before.
Those 7th Day Adventists. You know. Anyway, so that's awesome. So Kathy and Tali, thanks so much for being on the show. It's so delightful to be with you. And I hope you'll stay in touch and let us know how we can be supportive of all you're doing. You're making our community a better place to be, and I thank you for that.
Thank you for having us.
All right.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And with that, this has been John Crossman with the Crossman Conversation. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.